Russ.
Hey, Tony.
Let's make magic.
Magic. Ta-da.
Look at us, 2017. We're already two in.
Oh, my God. We're going to kill it.
That means episode 3 will come out.
Stop it.
You're gonna
break your computer and travel internationally again for 4 months?
Probably.
Cut it out.
Okay, sorry.
So I got into Snapchat over the holidays. Really just got into it. And
is
I
that agreed. A euphemism for something
no,
horrible?
No. I've been using it. My daughter and I like to look at the different filters before she goes to sleep at night. So we'll go through the filters and see funny faces. But then I was like, she went to bed one night and I'm like, voice changer. What would I sound like as a deer? And I was wearing a V-cut white undershirt. And I was like, oh, I'm Andrew Doe Clay.
Andrew Doe Clay.
In this voice changing thing, I was like, so I got my tongue up this doe's ass, right? And then she turns around and says, excuse me, do I know you? But it's all this high pitched new deer voice. And it's just delightful.
And you did all that with your daughter. That's really weird.
She was in bed asleep.
Okay.
But then she wanted to see what I recorded overnight. And then things were awkward. She was like, Dad? I'm like, yeah. She was like, why is your nose so red? I'm like, it's the filter.
She's 7. Welcome to One Beer, One Song. Where on each episode, of course, we miscategorize and or underappreciate a beer and or a song. Sometimes multiple beers, sometimes multiple songs, sometimes nothing for months.
Months.
Through the harvest season and the long cold winter, although we're in the pit of winter. Although it's the pit of winter, but it's Georgia. So it looks wintry, but it's like almost 60 degrees.
Now, outside. Glenn Burns of WSB has said we could see 8 to 12 inches this next weekend.
Perfect. Let's descend into chaos.
Sure. I made about 3 gallons of soup today before coming over, and my freezer is full of vegetables.
Is that where you just, so you made like 3 gallons of just like boiled cauliflower with a stick mixer or chicken broth or?
No, first I started with a mirepoix with garlic, sauteed that for a little while.
You're looking at me all like upset, but all right, soupy superson.
Yeah. It's soupy sales. And then I added some tomatoes, let that simmer together for a while, get to know each other, kind of a how's your father kind of mingling. And then I added some chicken stock and let that come to a boil and then to a simmer. And then I added a full head of chopped, coarsely chopped cabbage. Also added some strained and rinsed pinto beans.
Pinto beans.
And then after tasting it, realized it needed a little something. So I added a little bit of basil salt, which I've been collecting at my house.
Basil salt.
You have to have a special rain gauge to collect it, but I had some basil salt and I added that and some rosemary and it turned out to be delicious. And then I turned it off after it simmered for 45 minutes and I came over here. So I get home, be nice and cool, and I can portion it into my lunch cups because that is my lunch.
Okay.
Would you like a container of my soup for lunch?
I admire you immensely.
Why aren't you? You can do this. It's easy. I know what a mirepoix is. You worked in a professional kitchen.
I prefer to flail about and react to whatever's around me. And if there are leftovers, I will bring them for lunch. And if they aren't, then I'll try to stir up some lunch at work. And so, my work brings in a lot of lunches departmentally. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of like.
What do you mean departmentally? Like, guys, here's something that's a green.
No,
they bring out a
bring
ton
it
of kale.
In and you'll go into the kitchen and there'll be like a full like lunch buffet set up, and then there's a little sign that says, this is for legal lunch, free for all in an hour or at whatever, an hour from whenever
so
they serve
after
it.
After legal gets their first takes, then they
so it's a big cultural thing, like lunch grazing, because it's a big office, so there'll usually be anywhere from 3 to 4 lunches per day. And you could do that, and then if you don't get that, and you could find somebody, hey, do you want to go, somewhere and get a thing? And you go get a thing with somebody and do some networking.
Networking. God.
That's a big part of my job. People skills.
Thank God you have people skills, because if you had cow skills.
People skills.
If you had cow skills or goat skills working for that company.
I have those too.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you were supposed to hire goats for your backyard and you didn't. You were going to charge admission. You were going to put that money towards the podcast and you didn't do it. You don't have skills for goats for nothing.
It's true. What I did do was
I had you and you're like, yeah, next question.
What I did do was I had like 20 plus trees taken out of my backyard, which I think also happened since we've last met.
Yeah.
And the bobcat that they had to move the stumps around ground up all the ivy that I was going to have the goats eat. So I didn't need to get any goats.
Not till spring.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's going to come back like a raging fester on your penis.
Burn the whole thing down. Oh, and also since I was trying to think of things that happened that I should have mentioned in the last episode, in the last 4 months, we had a complete HVAC replacement.
You mentioned that.
Did I mention that?
Yeah, just the guts, not everything.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking through the
congratulations on your new air moving system.
The storyline of invoices that I've processed in the last 5 months or so. What are we drinking?
Have we said welcome to One Beer, One Song?
I said that, yeah.
Okay. This week's beer is Prairie Artisan Ales. It is the Prairie Noir, which, oh my God, where's my reading glasses? Imperial Stout Aged in Oak Whiskey Barrels. Distributed by our friends at Shelton Brothers. See if there's anything else. Made by people who truly care from Oklahoma with love. I'll be the judge of that. 11% alcohol by volume, 12 fluid ounces. I took a whiff of this beer and I was taken aback. So I'm going to do it again.
Taken aback.
Tony's now smelling. And are you taken aback by the smell?
I mean, I'm not taken aback. There's a lot going on in there.
Okay. I'm curious. What do you smell?
Definitely a lot of bourbon barrel aged, a whole canoe load of vanilla.
It's more than a canoe load.
Vanilla and caramel.
That's the nose is so sweet.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It is overwhelmingly sweet
and creamy, and
I don't get creamy.
I don't know. It's just a very.
I'm worried this could be a soy bomb of just overwhelming.
This is the beer that we should have drank to close out the year, not second episode in the new year.
Well, you were traveling the world, and that was unavailable to us. Definitely some coffee once you get into the sipping. Or is that toffee?
I don't get coffee because I tend to associate coffee with either roast or acidity. And
I'm talking flavor. But now that maybe a toffee flavor.
Yeah, toffee or like, if it's coffee, there's a whole lot of Bailey's in it.
Hmm.
This is a dessert ass beer.
I'm glad we're splitting this 12-ounce bottle.
And it's 11% alcohol, so that's good. There's a lot of big beers out there that have been moved around in a bunch of different vessels and whatever, and I quite enjoy this one.
Really?
I do, yeah, because let me tell you a word, and that word's balance.
Keep talking.
I just feel like it's you can tell it's big. It smells big. Like when you smelled it, you knew it would be big, right?
But for 11%, you don't get a lot of heat in the nose.
Well, no, but you don't get heat in the. I don't typically smell heat. I mean, I get it when I drink it, but like when you smell it, you know there's a ton going on in there, and then you drink it, and there is a ton going on, but it's pretty smooth.
It is exceptionally smooth. But talk to me about what's going on in there.
So there's not, it's an imperial stout, but you don't get an initial sledgehammer of like grain roast and acidity, which I would hope you wouldn't in something that's spent any time resting in barrels. The barrel notes are unabashed, but not cartoonish. I mean, it's like, here is a big, it's almost like here is a big barrel aged imperial stout. It's got all the things you're expecting. It's
none of the things you know. There's no gimmicks here.
And yeah, and like, here's what it is. Enjoy it or not. And I enjoy it. There's no like on the front of the label. Is there, let me see.
It's a chicken playing catch with lava.
Hand it to me.
I will in a second. I don't know what the other creature is. Oh, it's two chickens. This is so much fun. I missed you. I'm sorry you're the short alligator trying to play the bill at the table.
That's a good commercial. There are not any mentions of any flavors anywhere on the bottle. So it's, and you, I know you read this already, but Prairie Artisan Ales, Prairie Noir, Imperial Stout aged in oak whiskey barrels. Like that is all you get from a description.
But those are flavors.
Well, they are.
Oak whiskey.
Right, but they're not, I think that craft breweries are, and this is where craft breweries and wineries are starting to become kind of similar, because with wineries, and we talked about this a little bit on the last episode, like people have, your average wine consumer has a base understanding of what wine, there's regions and there's varietals, and that's it. People generally don't understand. I think of myself as generally interested in this kind of thing, but I couldn't tell you what vintage of anything should be better or worse than another vintage based on weather patterns or whatever else. And that's pretty base knowledge for a sommelier. So a wine consumer in a liquor store, there's going almost entirely on label, right? They're like, I want a big red wine to go with a steak because I'm eating steak. Let's get this. Let's
or
go to the
style.
Let's right. Let's, because of what I'm eating, let's go to the Cabernet section.
Or I want a Reposo, or I want the Chardonnay.
Once they get to the Cabernet section, Cabernet Sauvignon, they're,
say that again,
Cabernet Sauvignon. They're, then it's like, okay, what's my price range?
Yeah.
And then within that price range, what's good? And then depending on what you're willing to invest in the event you're going, you're talking about,
sure,
you might go a couple bucks more than your price range, right? And our, my local liquor store is wonderful at this because I can go in there and be like, here's my details. Like,
that's what a good liquor store should be.
I'm going to a thing. We're eating this. I need this. This is my budget. And they'll come in and say, okay, if your budget's $15, here's the best deal that we know of right now. And it's $12. But if you really want to knock people's socks off, here's one that's $19. And if your budget walking in was $15 and it's, you're going to pay nine, it's like, yes, I want to knock people's socks off for $19. Without that sort of assistance, though, if you're in the line by yourself, you pick up the bottle, you look at the label, you're like, this is cool. This looks stately and high quality and not wacky and gimmicky. And then,
which is odd for you because you like wacky and gimmicky. You like it when college football teams break out the shiny chrome helmets that with all of the colors displayed on their helmets.
You're absolutely right. Which is why I'm a huge proponent for, like, you know, canned wine. Hell that, yeah.
That's a thing.
Hell
that's
yeah. Canned wine. Yeah.
Pack it in, pack it out.
Put it in a plastic bottle. I don't care. Like, whatever.
Put it in a bra. I'll
I'm
it.
Talking about your average consumer, the average consumer journey.
Oh, okay. The consumer journey. Decision journey.
Decision journey. Yes, consumer life cycle.
Let's consumer map this.
How do we guide consumers from?
What happens if we launch this campaign that's targeted towards Beth? Well, who's Beth? She's our target demographic.
How do we get them from the top of the funnel through the funnel?
But then to become an engaged post-consumer where she's talking about us on social media. Is anybody else jerking off at home? Because I know I am.
Well, you're not at home, so put it away.
Just hand me a cup. I'll be fine.
Oh, God. So my whole point in all this is you pick up a bottle of wine at the store and you're like, oh, it's a Cabernet. It's from this area. It's from this year. If you're a renowned winery, that's all you have to indicate. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon from this year. And
I don't,
some
know
people are going to, that's all they need, but that's a very small percentage of people. Everybody else, they're like, well, let's turn the bottle over. And what does it say?
And it then, says, and then if you're pregnant, you shouldn't drink this.
And then it's describe the wine on the back of the label. Right? It's like, they'll give a couple sentences about the history of the winery and the history of the region.
Open last week.
And why they're significant. And then they talk about the flavors you're going to taste. And if they're really desperate, what food you should pair it with.
Porn stars stomp our grapes while eating ceviche.
This is not a morning drive time show. This is a serious
honk honk.
So my point is that beer's in the same spot, right? Like somebody, you go to the store and you're like, oh, it's a thing. Unless you know the brewery, and with specialty beers, region becomes less of a thing because they're,
well, because grains are shipped in from all over the place, and, mm-hmm. and if the base of most beer is pale two row. I'm looking for you to, okay,
yes,
good.
Yes.
And then if hops are being shipped from Washington, Oregon, down to Georgia, mm-hmm. regionality in beer really doesn't matter, with the exception of water quality, which the breweries, the few that
not
I know
not even water
Florida,
quality, just water profile.
Sure. We look at like the Cigar City out of Florida, water profile is not an issue with them. They make great beer.
I think outside of continental Europe, I think that...
I love how you say Europe.
Europe. Water, like indigenous water quality is not really a thing because there's so much variety and variance in water treatment practices that it makes more sense for brewers to strip everything out of the water and then rebuild the mineral content themselves.
If you saw the movie The Martian, which I think you would like because it won't set you off, but he's like, I know the formula for water, hydrogen and oxygen, and just add heat.
Just add, why do you need heat?
You'd have to ask Matt Damon. Matt Damon! You'd have to ask him.
Okay. So,
But okay, so for beer though, we don't look at beer from regionality. We don't say, "Oh, where's the Nebraska section?"
Well, my point—I was going to actually say that the beer regional styles are largely culturally imposed, right? And they can have external influences like ingredients availability. But to your point, people are shipping grains all over the place. All the hops come from the Northwest. So until that becomes more spread out, you're going to have that element. But you look at like the San Diego IPA, right? That's its own thing. Now there's the new New England IPAs that are cloudy and really super juicy
and lobstery.
Why wouldn't they be? So those are the like kind of culturally imposed regional style things.
Tony's thinking.
Words are hard.
Does this need to be the thing where you insert the musical thing? It's like
there's no geographic restrictions on any of those things. Like someone in San Diego could make a cloudy, juicy New England IPA.
Absolutely.
Right. So,
but isn't while we go shop, don't we take freshness into account more?
It depends on how much money you have.
Because when I go to liquor store now, I'm like, okay, who in Georgia do I want to support? Or maybe Alabama, South Carolina, that regionality. Because I know it's possibly if I'm looking at IPA or something on the hoppier, fresher side, I want to look at, oh, when was this canned? Which honestly, has there ever been a better time to drink beer?
It's both wonderful and awful because we're getting back to my main point here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I bring you back around?
Getting to become like a wine drinker because you just go in and you're like, holy shit, what do I do in here? Yeah. And I am someone who I feel like I know quite a bit, and I go in and I'm just like, I've never heard of that brewery. They could be the newest, hottest thing and it could be delicious, or it could be
shit.
I could be captured by their marketing and take it home and be like, wow, that's a phenolic, like, garbage bomb.
Wow, that can sure was shiny and splashy and I fell for that. Yeah. Like Maryland football.
I don't fall for the football team. But just I sure uniforms. Like the colorful skin on the outside. It's
no,
good, really good.
No, you're yeah. so bad. No, it's good. You put out a tweet that said, your tweet caused me to click over and watch the Maryland football game.
I will gladly accept that.
So you should get some endorsement money from ESPN.
Yeah.
But I clicked over and I went, that is the ugliest gold helmet with randomly placed checkerboard squares I've ever seen. And I immediately flipped it back to Fixer Upper.
So the helmets weren't gold, but had they, now that you've given me a moment of like, if they had had the spray paint graffiti helmets that they did have, but then they had gold grills, man, that would have been so cool.
I think the NCAA has ruled on grills. That's the one thing you can't screw with. Like,
really?
Tavares used to have like the 64 holes in his.
Yeah.
And then the NCAA came in after that season. They're like, no, standard grill.
So there's an NFL player, it was a New York Giant, I think, who got the, like...
He said, fee, fi, fo, fum.
Yes. Good Giant joke. Do you have any other Giant jokes?
Give me some time. That was the only one I
Yeah,
had.
Yeah.
Do you have any Giant jokes?
Somebody had gotten a finger or a digit into his grill and messed up his eye. And so in order for him to keep playing, he got this crazy mesh grill that just, like, has little eye spaces in it. You have to picture me doing the finger and
Lone
thumb,
Ranger
finger of. And thumb over my over and below my eyeballs. Everything else was just grill, like solid grill. And the NFL allowed it for medical reasons. And then other players in the NFL were like, no, I want that. Like, and if you don't give it to me, then that's
like bias treatment,
promoting an unsafe work environment. And that stuff will all trickle down to the NCAA. You can see now the football commercials that are like, look at all this technology we put in the shoe to make football players safer. Make them safer.
We get feedback from the trainers about how the shoe performs and holds the foot together so it doesn't fall off when they're kicking a field goal.
Right.
What? The foot would fall off without your shoe? Maybe the sport is too violent.
Well, they're really just, I mean, yeah, whatever.
This is the
They're
problem.
Really just saying, here's some marketing so that when somebody actually dies on the field, we can be like, no, but we've been doing all this work.
Not us.
All right. We got to do a song too, right?
Shit. We haven't. Well, based on last episode, I can't wait for this.
Yeah, you're going to hate this. You're going to hate it. So I am a unabashed super fan of Trampled by Turtles.
Correct.
They are have recently gone on a hiatus.
Oh.
Because they toured for like 6 or 7 years.
So they're sick of each other.
Yeah, they're just like, can we not for a minute?
They went off to have babies.
So Dave Simonette, and we've actually done this band on here before. When he's not doing Trampled by Turtles, he does a band called Dead Man Winter, and his Twitter and Instagram handles are actually also Dead Man Winter. And his band, Dead Man Winter, it has an album coming out.
Into the microphone.
On January 27th. And the album is called, I'm trying to find the...
My Dead Dad, Alan Thicke.
I think it's, pretty sure it's called Furnace. I'm looking at Spotify thing. And Spotify won't let me tell the name of the album based on just the song. Yeah, it's called Furnace. So January 27th, it's called Furnace. He's released two singles off that album, and those are called Destroyer and This House Is on Fire. And we're going to listen to Destroyer.
Destroyer.
Please stop.
Get your boom boom down.
I will... The remainder of this episode will be played for Russ's part. Will be played by Russ sighing.
So good,
isn't it? Good. It's very good.
Melodic. It was tasteful and inspiring, and just things sounded good. It's like a freshly cleaned butthole. It just everything.
Why you got to do that? Why do you have to do that to my podcast?
Well, first of all, we've done two episodes now in 2017, and I waited until the second episode.
But so only half of the episodes from this year have
Okay, think about your butthole.
No.
Okay, think about my butthole.
Don't do this to my Dead Man Winter song.
It's a good poop. There's no sloppiness at the end. Like, you get up, you try to wipe, you're like, oh.
They did have that nice triplet wrap it up. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Oh. There's nothing to wipe. You're like, oh, perfect poop. Perfectly tapered. Your butthole gently closed at the end of it. It felt good while you're doing it. It didn't start harshly. It was just like, you know, we're going to start. It just pokes out. It's a great song, Tony. My challenge for you in 2017 is more songs like this. Stuff that, you know, people can listen to without wanting to throw their fucking computers out the window.
Get out of my house.
Bye. Actually, if I had thought that you were going to say that, I would have gone to the door and slammed it.
Oh, yeah, we have new props in the different room in our temporary
fan.
We got a ceiling fan to get caught in.
You weren't at my house the one night that I had pretty much had it with the world. This was probably 10 years ago, and I tried to stop the ceiling fan with my tongue. Or were you?
That doesn't sound like a had it with the world thing. That sounds like a, you guys, I am so stoked right now. I can do anything.
No, I was so frustrated with life at that moment that I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop the ceiling fan with my tongue. And Brett, friend of the show, Brett, was like, oh, yeah, man, do it.
Well, that I get. That I see. Absolutely. But I don't get the premise.
It was a dark and stormy time.
Lots of rum and lots of black rum and ginger beer.
And a small dog.
And a lot of lime.
No, no lime. No, God, why would you bring citrus into this? Here's what surprised me about the beer. Well, first of all, the song's delightful. I want to go give them money. And I might when I get home. I was worried I was going to get tired of this beer. And we split a 12-ounce bottle. I was worried I was going to get tired of this beer.
It's a big one.
Because it's big and because it is sweet, but it doesn't pound you with sweetness as you drink it, which is, that to me is surprising. Mm-hmm. It's continually drinkable. And I don't know if I could have taken 12 ounces by myself or 12 inches by myself.
I believe you could.
I have a gag reflex. But this is great. This is a really solid multi-level beer, not to be confused with multi-level marketing.
Multi-channel, omni-channel.
Shut up.
Imperial
Just
style.
Shut up. Jump out your window.
Jump out your nice window. My nice new windows. These are
oh, that's a new one
windows.
Too, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
Does that let heat in?
Absolutely not.
Does it let cold in?
No.
Oh, so your house is no longer a sieve.
My house is made slightly less gauze than it was before.
Still have other gauzy parts.
Those windows that you're looking at, sir, are triple paned.
Oh, well, sell me.
Like
sell me.
Titanium oxide coating. It's
oh,
just,
you're full of crap.
I'm not.
Those are titanium oxide coating?
Yes. They're what? Coated. There's what? Gas in there. There's argon gas in there.
Argon.
Triple paned. Not quite bulletproof, but pretty strong.
Well, how strong are we talking?
Lifetime warranty, where if it breaks, I could be like, my kid broke a window and they'll
come
fix it.
So can we take it out and stand on it?
Probably, if we could take it out, but that's, they don't come out. Think
you're full of disappointment.
Maybe they do come out.
Ooh,
but let's not.
Oh,
because if it does get broken, I want it to be legitimate, so I can be like, hey,
what makes a legitimate broken window?
Kid throws a baseball through it.
That's kind of intentional breakage.
You know what though, that means they can come back out and like have another opportunity to sell you more stuff,
which you like,
because they can I love being sold stuff, but they can fix the panes of glass easy.
I accepted a LinkedIn request recently from her LinkedIn profile. I was like, I'm intrigued by you, and you're here to the local market. And she was like, she didn't have salesperson in her title. That was the trick. Like, they're getting smart. It was like consumer brand advocate, and I'm like, okay, I think you're full of shit, but also the profile is good, and I the market is open for me, so I accepted. And literally 24 hours later, thanks for accepting my request. You know, I think my product could help you, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, and I didn't respond. I deleted the message and disconnected from her on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Salespeople are, well, they're salespeople, which is amazing. I love salespeople. I am.
No, you're not. You're not.
But I live in that world.
It does, but you're not a salesperson.
I
you,
can be, though.
You
I
try to
been.
Find solutions to people's problems with other companies.
Every salesperson will tell you the exact same thing.
Which is what?
We're trying to find solutions for other people's companies.
but why do I get hard when you say that?
Because I'm really good at my job.
Bye.
Bye.